Alright, so this morning we are in the book of Ecclesiastes. It is the book of frustration. It was written around 975 BC by Solomon. 12 chapters, 222 verses, 5,579 words. It was written near the end of Solomon's life. Ecclesiastes means preacher or teacher, a speaker who is addressing an assembly of people.
All right,
the 50,000-foot summary. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us that life on planet Earth is meaningless, empty, and unsatisfying. You guys gonna be okay back there? You good? You gonna be okay? Okay. Alright, the book of Ecclesiastes teaches us that life on planet Earth is meaningless, empty, and unsatisfying if we do not have a relationship with God. A quick review of King Solomon. He was the third king of Israel. He was about 60 years old when he wrote Ecclesiastes. He had more wisdom than any other man. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs. He violated Deuteronomy 17, 16, and 17. Those blanks are wives, money, and horses, if you didn't get them earlier. Solomon wrote 3 books of our Bible, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes are the blanks for that one. Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He was a man of peace. Israel was not at war during his reign. So if you remember, David was the man of war, and that was his father. And he had kind of subdued all the enemies of Israel around them. And so during Solomon's reign, there was no wars in Israel. How long was he king of Israel? That was 40 years, if you didn't get that blank. The key verse for Ecclesiastes is at the very end. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Christ in Ecclesiastes, Christ is seen in several ways, but the most striking is in the story that Solomon tells about the poor wise man who saves the little city in chapter 9. Christ was made poor for our sakes, and his wisdom can save the people that are facing destruction by the great king. I will tell you that king should probably be lowercase on that. It's probably a typo. Lowercase king for Satan. He doesn't get the big K. Common words or phrases found in Ecclesiastes. Just like the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes is also about life on planet Earth. Ecclesiastes is a journal or diary of Solomon's quest to find happiness and meaning in life, meaning of life outside of God. The following words and phrases are used many times in Ecclesiastes and give us an indication of the mood of the book. So if you guys have ever yourselves gone through what is the meaning of life, or like what is the point of all this? It just seems like none of this really matters. That kind of a mindset, or you've been around people who feel that way. That really is, I mean, philosophers and people have struggled or debated or talked about the meaning of life, you know, for hundreds of years or thousands of years. What's the purpose? Why are we here? Those kinds of things. A lot of big overarching, big picture problems that people think about. And Solomon went through that as well in this book. And he deals a lot with, none of this even matters. He uses the word vanity a lot, which we'll look at here in just a second. He uses the word vanity, and he's talking about everything just is meaningless. None of this matters. He has more wealth than maybe anybody ever. He's got more wisdom than anybody ever. Maybe he has more wives than anybody ever. He's king of a powerful nation. They're at peace this whole time that he's reigning. I mean, he has, as far as the world is concerned, Solomon has basically everything you could ever want. And at the end of his life, he's looking back on all of it, and he's like, it doesn't mean anything. What is the meaning of all this? What's the point of all this? It's all vanity. Everyone, we all live, we all die. Yeah, some people's lives are better than others, but in the end, we all die. So what's the point? And that was kind of his conclusion. And he wrote this whole book talking about the things that he did in his life, the things that he experienced, and how all of it kind of came up meaningless. And so it's kind of a little bit of a depressing book if you look at it that way. But the point of it, the reason that it's in our Bible and the things that we can apply from it, there's a lot of things, but one of the things we can apply from it is Solomon, during the beginning of his reign, when he first became king, God asked him, what do you want? What I'll give you whatever you want, just ask. And he asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom, and because he asked for wisdom, and he asked for it not for himself, but he asked for it so that he could rule over God's people well. So God said, because you asked for that, that's a good request, I'm going to give you long life. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you these things that you didn't ask for because you asked for something that you would be able to rule over my people. And so at the beginning of Solomon's reign, he was walking with the Lord, like he was, doing the right things. But we'll see here in just a minute. After a while, he turned his back on God, and he started to turn away from the Lord, and he started marrying all these different wives from all different places, which we've talked about before. He married, princesses and stuff from other places, and he started building each of them their own temple to worship their God. And so every new wife that he acquired, he built a temple for her God. And so as that continued to happen, he started turning away from God and started worshiping the gods of these wives that he was gathering. And so he had 700 wives, and so he had, a bunch of different gods pulling him away from serving the Lord. And so towards the end of his life, he gets to this point, and he's like, all this stuff that I'm doing, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Like, he had meaning, and he had purpose, and he had something to do when he was walking with the Lord. There was a point to all of what he was doing, right? He was ruling and reigning over Israel, and he was guiding God's people. But after a while, he, turned away from that, and a lot of things became meaningless to him. So we'll look more at that as we go through here, but that's a lot of what's happening in this book. So words or phrases that are used in this book, under the sun or under heaven, is used 33 times. It means life on planet Earth. This is things that people experience in this life. While reading Ecclesiastes, you can replace under the sun with on Earth to help clarify it. So when he says there's nothing new under the sun, it just means there's nothing new in this world. There's nothing new on Earth. The second one there is man or men. It's used 80 times. It's a book about the actions of people. Labor is used 26 times. People labor under the sun to find happiness. Wisdom or wise is used 53 times. Our quest for wisdom under the sun, man's wisdom, not God's wisdom, is futile. Evil, so these are all realizations that Solomon came to. Evil is used 22 times. Solomon observed much evil under the sun. Vanity is used 34 times. Meaningless, emptiness, unsatisfying, valueless, like a puff of smoke. It is impossible to grasp and floats away in the wind. And then vexation is used 10 times, and that means to be troubled or tormented. So at the beginning of the book in chapter 1, it's the introduction of his journey or his testimony. The first chapter tells us, Solomon introduces himself as the author of Ecclesiastes. He basically tells us he's going to give us his testimony. The rest of the book is the historical account of Solomon's pursuit of happiness outside of God. And so it's really kind of like a cautionary tale. I think I've used this quote in here before, but let me think how it goes exactly. I think it's a smart man learns from his own mistakes, but a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. It just means it's good if you go through something and you learn from that and you change, your actions or your thoughts about something. That's a good thing to do. But it's even better if you can see somebody else go through something and learn from their mistake and not have to go through it on your own and learn it yourself. You learn it from them. And so when we read Ecclesiastes and we're reading about, Solomon living his life in this way away from God and coming to the end, the result that all of this stuff is meaningless if you don't have the Lord. If you don't have a purpose that lasts beyond your lifetime, what is the point of all of it, And so when we read Ecclesiastes and we pick up on that and we're we identify, hey, this guy, he had a more extravagant lifestyle than any of us will ever have, right? I mean, this guy had more money and fame and power than all of us combined probably will ever have in our lifetime. And so if he lives this lavish, famous, celebrity kind of lifestyle as the king who has ultimate authority to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to whoever he wants, and he comes back with the realization that, man, none of this stuff really means anything, these parties and these, he didn't have cars and stuff, but horses and, whatever things that represented fame and fortune and wealth back in those times, he had all these things, and he just is like, it doesn't really mean anything if you don't have some kind of purpose, something that lasts beyond these things. Even today, you know, cars break down, houses, you know, fall apart. Like, the things that we put our faith in or our value on, those things, you know, fade away also. I mean, you look at celebrity lifestyles. Those things are glamorous for a time, but, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen documentaries or just, like, people, you know, famous people who their lives just fell apart. They get involved in, you know, drugs and alcohol and various different things, and their life just kind of starts to crumble. The money goes away, and when the money goes away, the people go away. When the people go away, the fame goes away, and then they're left, like, with this just empty lifestyle. Like, they don't have anything left. And even if they don't go through all those things, even if they do pretty well, I mean, you see celebrities that, you know, they get old and they die, and, like, what's left of them? They have their legacy of, you know, movies that they made or songs that they produced or whatever. But those things, you know, once they're gone, those things don't really matter, at least to them anymore. And so there's not a lot of, hope if your whole life is invested in things that, you know, exist only on this earth while you're alive. Those things are great, but after a while, you know, we're all going to be gone, right? None of us are going to live forever physically on this earth anyways. And so those things that we're investing our time and our money into, need to be things that are eternal, things that are going to last beyond our lifetime, right? That's why we're so heavily focused on, reading your Bible and praying and sharing the gospel with people. Those are the kinds of things, you know, you share the gospel with somebody and they get saved. That person now gets to spend eternity in heaven. They get to live forever. That lasts beyond their lifetime, lasts beyond your lifetime. It's an investment, that's gonna continue outside of, you know, this physical life. So, there's a lot of good cautionary tale things that you can read, from the book of Ecclesiastes. Anything that you can think of that you would think, well, this would make me happy, or this would be something that would, you know, make my life meaningful. He goes over pretty much all of those things and is like, none of it really means anything at the end of the day. Chapters 2 through 8, the testimony of Solomon. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs when he was in his mid-30s. Shortly thereafter, Solomon seemed to experience a midlife crisis. He spent the next 20 years or so trying to find happiness and meaning in life outside of the plan of God. Chapters 2 through 8 detail the earthly pursuits and the things that Solomon turned to in his search to find happiness, joy, peace, and meaning in life. Solomon turned to the same five W's that we often turn to in order to find happiness and meaning in life. Wine or alcohol, women, or if you're a woman, man, or sensual pleasures, wealth. We all kind of have a desire to have money so we can, you know, buy the things we want to buy. Wisdom and works. A lot of people immerse their life in their job and what they do. Solomon immersed himself in these lifestyles. He had all the time and money needed to fully exploit these hedonistic desires. At the end of each experiment, Solomon declared them to be empty, unsatisfying, and did not fulfill his quest for the meaning of life. Solomon observed 10 vanities or human pursuits that we use to fill voids in our hearts that only God can fill. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, man cannot fix what God has made broken. God has given man a void in our hearts so that we cannot find anything else to fill it. Unfortunately, we still try to fill our void with these human pursuits. And so, you know, man has an innate desire to, you know, want to know what the meaning of life is and want to know what their purpose is. And ultimately that purpose, you know, you can temporarily fill it with other things, but ultimately that purpose, is connected to the Lord. It can only be filled by, having a relationship with God. And anything short of that can be temporarily satisfying, temporarily can fill that void that's missing. But like in the long run, those things are not going to fill forever. Only God can do that. And so chapter 2, verse 15, his pursuit was human wisdom. And why is emptiness and unfulfilling? The wise and the fool come to the same end, death. So if you gather as much wisdom, if you're the smartest person that ever lived, I mean, you guys know Stephen Hawking? Remember who that guy is? Okay, the guy in the wheelchair. He died a few years ago. One of the smartest guys that ever lived, right? I mean, he was very intelligent when it came to earthly knowledge, knowledge of physics and mathematics and things like that. But by all accounts, I mean, it's very likely that that guy is in hell today. And, you know, the end result of his life, no matter how much he knew about, you know, the physics of this world, and the knowledge that this world has to offer, the end result of his life was death. Same thing for you know, the dumbest person that you know. I mean, those, that person at some point is going to die, and the end of result of all of our lives is death. So it doesn't matter how much you know or how much you think you know about this world. If you don't know Christ, then it's going to end in death for all of us.
Wasn't he an atheist?
Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 21. The human pursuit is human labor. The worker and the loafer come to the same end, death. So again, hard workers, people who, you know, build empires, literally in his case, or, you know, figuratively in the case of, you know, you're building an empire of, you know, lawns or, you know, whatever kind of a career that you have. At the end result, whether you are a hard worker and you build something, a business or, you know, something or an invention that, you know, that changes people's lives, in the end, whether you're that person or you're a person who's just lazy and doesn't do anything, we're all still going to die. And once a person who created something or whatever dies, like, there's, you know, they don't get to enjoy that anymore. So the end result is death on that too. Human purpose in 2:26. Although a man proposes to do something, God can overrule. So we, you know, we don't have a purpose in life. I mean, there are all kinds of good purposes that you can pursue. I don't mean to sound like, you know, your life is totally meaningless. There are good things we can do in our life, right? I mean, there's people who are doing humanitarian things all over the world. There's charitable things you can do. We can help people in various different ways. But ultimately, the thing that's going to give a purpose that lasts longer than our lifetime is investing those things in things that last forever, which is the souls of men and the Word of God. And so those are the things that are going to give us purpose. Human competition. Success brings more envy than joy. So I'm a pretty competitive person. I'm not the most competitive person, but I like to do things that, you know, to compete in games or whatever, sports. No matter what level you reach, there's always, you know, even if you get to the highest level of athletics or of a, you know, a sport or a whatever thing that you are pursuing, even if you're the best person at it, there's always somebody chasing you. There's always somebody who's trying to be better than you. You have to try to maintain as long as you can, and ultimately people are going to catch up to you because you're going to get older or you're going to get hurt or something's going to happen, and you can't sustain that forever. And so it brings more envy than joy in the long run. In the short term, it can bring some joy. If you're really athletic or you're really gifted at something, it can bring you meaning for, you know, a period in your life. But at some point, you know, someone's going to be better than you are at that thing. chapter 4, verse 7, human greed. The eye is never satisfied. The more you have, the more you want. If Solomon came to this realization that, like, no matter how much money you have, you always want more. I mean, Solomon has more money than any of us are ever going to have. And he's recognizing, hey, this money thing doesn't really matter. You're never going to be satisfied. It's you know, a deep hole that can never be filled. And so, you know, not to be, not that you can't have money. That's not, you know, money is not a bad thing. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, the Bible says. Chapter 14, verse 6, or sorry, 4, verse 16, human fame, it is brief, uncertain, and fleeting. We even call it 15 minutes of fame. You guys ever heard that phrase? 15 minutes of fame? It's more probably popular now than it ever has been. People get TikTok famous, or they get Instagram famous, or they're on America's Got Talent, they went viral for some video that they did or whatever. They're famous for, you know, a few minutes, and then it kind of fleets away, and people kind of forget about that person because something else pops up. More often than not, even if you become famous, you know, overnight, that doesn't last very long. Human desire, money and riches cannot satisfy. Those are the things that people desire, and it's never going to be filled. We talked about it with greed, but it's not just money. It's anything. No matter what you have, you always want more. Human coveting, wanting stuff begets more wanting stuff. We just talked about that. Human merriment, that's like from the word merry, like happy. It only distracts from the sad and certain end of one's life. So all of this is like really kind of depressing, you know, like, hey, you can be happy, that's great, but eventually you're going to die. I mean, that's what we're saying here. But the whole point of it is not to like be depressing and sad about it. It's to say, hey, you can be happy with some of the things that this world has to offer for a short time period, for a temporary situation. But the only thing that's going to satisfy long term is the Lord, is having a relationship with the Lord, because that's going to last beyond our human lifetime. Human recognition often rewards, or sorry, often recognition and awards are rare and unfair. We all like to get rewarded for things. We all like for people to see that we've done something, you know, whether it's a, you know, something in school or a sport or some other extracurricular activity or a job if you have one of those. Like, we all want to be recognized, like, hey, you did a good job on this. But, you know, if you set your life up to only be happy when someone else recognizes that you did a good job on something, you're going to be disappointed more times than not, because people don't always recognize the hard work that you put in or the good thing that you've done. Sometimes they will, but sometimes they don't. We can't, you know, just put our all of our hopes and dreams on someone else recognizing that we've done something. At the end of each pursuit, Solomon declared that it is vanity, and it left him empty and unsatisfied. So then the last section here is chapters 9 through 12 is the conclusion. So after 20 years of searching for happiness and the meaning of life, Solomon has come full circle. He realizes that meaning and purpose can only be found in a relationship with God. It is impossible for man to find meaning in meaningless things. That's a really profound sentence. It's impossible for man to find meaning in meaningless things. And we just talked about how meaningless a lot of these things are because they don't last. They're not going to last very long. In chapter 11, Solomon gives us seven ways that we should live that will bring us true happiness, joy, peace, and meaning in life. Number one, live generously. Cast your bread upon the waters. You guys can read chapter 11 if you want. We're not going to read it because we don't have time. But if you read this passage, these are just little snippets from this passage. But be generous. Cast your bread upon the waters. He's talking about, you know, just like being generous to those that we, you know, encounter. Spread your wealth a little bit, you know, like give to other people. Number two, live where you land. Bloom where you're planted. This was a phrase that I really liked, I don't know, four or five years ago probably. I talked about this phrase a lot. Bloom where you're planted. Wherever God puts you in life, whatever school you're in, whatever job you end up with, whatever, you know, family situation you have, whatever, wherever you are, like wherever you find yourself, just bloom where you're planted. Like, be successful in that place. Like look for opportunities to be successful, not necessarily in the world's viewpoint, but from God's viewpoint, right? Like do what God has put you in that place to do. You guys have access to reach specifically the people that you're friends with at your school, or you're in class with, or you play a sport with, or you play in a band with, the person you sit next to on the bus. Those people, you might be the only person that has access, Elena. You might be the only person who has access to those people, to that person, to those people. You might be the only possible person that they come in contact with that can share the gospel with them. And so, bloom where you're planted. Be successful wherever God puts you. Number three, live without delay. If you're waiting for the perfect time, it will never come. You know, if it's one of those things like, I'll talk to this person about Jesus when they ask me about Jesus. Okay, that might not ever happen. You know, like, we can't rely on something lining up, things lining up perfectly for us to be able to then do what we think we want to do. Sometimes you just have to be bold and say, okay, I was hoping that this person would ask me, but clearly they're not going to do that. So I'm going to ask them, right? Maybe they want to know, but they're embarrassed to ask you. You know, just as embarrassed as you are to talk about it, maybe they're just as embarrassed the other way. And so don't wait for the perfect time. Number four, live submissively. God's ways are not our ways. Trust in His plans for you. So, you know, the Bible talks about how God's ways are not our ways. They're above our ways. And so, you know, just read the Bible, figure out what God is saying to you, apply it in your life. Like, it's kind of simple to say, but it is more difficult to live out. But it's not impossible to live out. Like, these are the things that godly men and women are doing. They're reading the Bible, they're taking the things that they learn, they're applying them, and they're acting them out in their life, and that's going to give them success in God's measuring, not in human measuring. Number five, live faithfully. Be not weary in well-doing. Trust the Lord for the harvest. Sow in the morning, sow in the evening. So just be faithful. Just show up. Do the things. I don't mean show up like to class. I mean show up, like get up and read your Bible. Like get up and pray. Spend time doing the things that you know you're supposed to do. Just be faithful. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. You're not overnight going to be this drastically different person who has boldness and who, you know, has integrity and lives this great righteous life and has, you know, all this success when it comes to the Lord. That doesn't happen because you make a decision one day and the next day, you know, now you're just this magically different person. It happens because you get up and you do the things. You read your Bible, you pray, you ask God for opportunities, He gives you opportunities, you take advantage of those opportunities, and when God can trust you with little things, then God will trust you with more things. That's what it tells us in Luke chapter 16. Number six, live joyfully. Life is sweet and a gift from God. He wants us to enjoy all His love and blessings. Enjoy it while you can. You know, God doesn't want us to, like, the point of this chapter is not, or this book, is not to say that, like, you can't enjoy anything that this world has to offer, and you only can say it's all worthless and meaningless. There are things you can do that are fun in this life. We should enjoy our life. God doesn't want us to go around with our heads hung down like we can't enjoy anything because it's all going to burn in the end. It all is going to burn in the end, but we can still enjoy our lives. Jesus wasn't walking around with His head hung low, you know, like, Jesus was out healing people, and He was out doing miracles. He was eating with His disciples and having a good time, and, like,
Making memories.
Yeah, He was fellowshipping with His guys, and He was investing in them, and, like, just spending time doing guy things with them. He was a carpenter, right? Going fishing? Yeah. He was a carpenter. He probably was building stuff. Going fishing with them, like, they were professional fishermen. He was just hanging out a lot of the time. We know all the things that, all the miracles that were recorded in the Bible. There's tons that probably weren't recorded. But we don't see, you know, Jesus, like, boring or, you know, not enjoying His time on earth. I mean, Jesus Christ, of all people, knew exactly what He was going to go through in death, and He knew basically exactly when it was going to happen. But that didn't mean He, like, went through His life just, like, not enjoying things. So we can enjoy our life. We should enjoy our life. If there's no joy in our life and there's no, like, happiness in the things that we're doing, why would anybody look at our life and say, I want to be more like that person, right? They're following Jesus. It looks really fun, you know, if you're just kind of head hung low all the time. So all this stuff doesn't mean you can't enjoy things, but it is a reminder that these things are not the things that bring us ultimate joy. These things are not the things that, like, the things that the world has to offer are not the things that are going to give us lasting happiness and joy. Those are temporary things, but we can enjoy them. Number seven, live carefully. Enjoy life to the fullest. Life is short, and only things done for Christ will have eternal value. What you guys were just talking about with that boy that died in a car accident last night. I mean, we don't know when our last, like, day on earth is going to be, right? If you aren't saved, you need to get saved. If there's someone in your life that you know isn't saved, take time to talk to that person. You know, because we really don't know when our last day is going to be. And so the Bible tells us that in Proverbs, you know, like, tomorrow is not promised. That's not how the verse goes, but boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen to us later today or tomorrow or the next day. We all think we have 70, 80, 90 years, you know, but some of us do and some of us don't. These seven lifestyle choices are summed up in Solomon's conclusion. The secret ingredient of true happiness, it is the key verse in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, which say, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So he's like, after all of what I've experienced, this is my conclusion. He doesn't say it, but as the wisest man who ever lived, one of the richest men who ever lived, the king of Israel, after all my time with all these women and all this money and all this power, this is my conclusion about my life. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He's like, here's all we need to do. Fear God, keep His commandments. You know, like, that's what man needs to do. And so that was his conclusion at the end of his life. How does Ecclesiastes apply to me? What are you pursuing? Does your life lack meaning, purpose, and joy that you desire? Have you tried to find happiness in things or people instead of a relationship with God? I don't know this to be true. This is maybe just hyperbole, but the day and age that you guys live in might be where people pursue meaning and purpose in things that are meaningless and purposeless more than maybe any other time in history. I mean, there's just the things that you guys, not you guys specifically, but the things that people of your age and even people of my age and everywhere in between are chasing after mean less and less. I mean, my grandparents' generation, they would get a job, they'd work it for 40 years, they'd retire with a pension, and they wanted to live their life simply. They wanted to kind of just have enough to survive. They were not looking to live extravagant lifestyles for the most part. you know, fame and fortune was not really as big of a thing as it is now, as the movie industry and television industry kicks in, like my parents' generation. You know, it started to be, those people started to strive for maybe more fame and fortune and things like that. Now, I mean, everybody can be famous with a viral video, or they can be, you know, they can get their 15 minutes of fame. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, The Voice and American Idol and America's Got Talent and X Factor, all these shows that all around the world, people can go, I want to be famous. I want people to know, hear me sing or see me dance or whatever thing that, you know, whatever talent I have. And again, there's nothing bad about any of those things in and of themselves, but the pursuit of things that don't last or don't mean as much is more and more prominent the more those things become such a big deal. And so that's why there's so much depression and anxiety and mental health issues, is because you know, we're not pursuing the things that actually give us meaning and purpose and life. We're pursuing things that are temporary, that only last for you know, minutes or hours or days or weeks or months, and not things that are going to last a long time or an eternity. And so, you know, it's important to think about the things that we're pursuing and the things that we value. And the things that we value are the things we invest our time in. You know, time is the one resource that all of us have, you know, a limited amount of, and none of us know how much it is. And so the things that you put your time into, the things you spend your time doing, those are the things that you value. Even if those are not the things that you would say you value, those are the things that you value. And so, you know, think about the things that you're pursuing and the ways that you're spending your time, because those are the things that you are, that you think are important. if you're lacking meaning, purpose, and joy, have you tried finding happiness in things or people instead of a relationship with God? If you've done those things, study the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes. They will encourage you to place your trust solely in the Lord. Strengthen your faith in Christ, and the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace. Only then can you experience peace, joy, and happiness under the sun. So again, he says there, if so, study the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes. His words will encourage you. The whole point of this is not to discourage and make you think everything you enjoy is dumb and not worth your time. That's not it at all. All the things that you enjoy, you should enjoy things. Like, you know, I play video games. I sit around and watch movies, and, you know, I do things that, like, the world enjoys. But those are not the things that I wrap all of my worth up in, or wrap all my time up in. I still spend time reading. I still spend time praying. I spend time doing things that are going to last. I spend time teaching you guys, hoping that some of the things that I say are gonna, you know, land somewhere, and those are gonna last beyond me. You guys are gonna take some of the things that I've said, or that you heard from Pastor Brian, or whatever, and that's gonna help you, you know, grow in your relationship with God, so that you can then go and tell somebody else about those things. Hey, guess what I heard at church this week? You know, fill in the blank, whatever thing that you heard at church this week. I want you guys to do those things. I hope those things are things that you guys think about, or things that you guys desire. Because those, you know, those are the things that I'm trying to invest in, is you guys. That's Nick and Kendra, my wife, all the adults that are in this class, are in this class because it's fun. We enjoy being with you guys. But also, like, we want you guys to grow and, you know, do things and impact people around you that we don't maybe have access to, or that we can't impact, or, you know, live your life different, or, you know, get started earlier on than we did. I've told you guys before, I was like 30 years old before I really started taking a lot of things spiritually seriously. I was on the mission field when I was a teenager, and I did some things for the Lord when I was younger, but like my 20s was just kind of like hanging out and enjoy things that the world had to offer. You know, not like super sinful things, but just not, you know, investing my time in things that mattered. And so it took me until I was in my 30s. So I hope for you guys, you know, when you graduate high school, you think, hey, what can I do for the Lord with my life now? Should I go on the mission field somewhere? Should I pursue this college degree so I can make a lot of money? Or maybe I could pursue a different path, and I could, you know, go down this road, and I can give my life to serving the Lord in ministry somehow. You know, those are the things that I hope for you guys that you know, last in your life, that you hear things that are being said in this class or things that we talk about, and that you take them and like try to apply those in your life and move forward maybe in a different direction than what the world has to offer. And so those are just some thoughts from this book, but I don't want any of this to be discouraging to you guys. Hopefully it isn't discouraging, because there is a lot of encouragement. I mean, when you know, like all of you guys know, probably before I started talking this morning, that your true meaning and purpose in life is found in Christ, right? Like you, I think all of you guys probably knew that before we started talking about Ecclesiastes. So you guys are way ahead of most of the people your age that don't know that, that haven't discovered that God is the answer to the questions of life. God is the answer to what is the meaning of life. The meaning of life is to serve the Lord, right? To bring honor and glory to God. That is what we are supposed to do. And we do that in a variety of different ways, but that is the meaning and that is the purpose. That is what we're supposed to do with our life. That's why God has us here, is so that we can tell others about Him, so that we can live our life honoring and glorifying Him with the things that we do. And so the more that we can focus on those things, the more that we can understand that and live our life that way, the more meaning and purpose and happiness and joy that we will find in our lives. So